Well, it's good again to be back with you. And this morning we're going to move out of John this morning for this morning. And we're going to move over to Matthew chapter 12. Just going to look at the first 13 verses. And we won't look at it in super deep detail, but we want to look at the first 13 verses of Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bibles with you, we want to talk this morning a little bit about that. Alright, I want to read Matthew chapter 12, and I want to look at verses 1 through 13. Everybody about there? This is a pivotal passage in the book of Matthew. At this point is the place where Jesus begins to have a major conflict with the Pharisees, with the religious folks. And, you know, it seems like today that we've just so many times people have heard the wrong message about the gospel. The gospel is very simple, it's very easy, but man has made it into something else. And we want to talk a little bit about that this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. He says, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand,' and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other." In this passage, Jesus and his disciples are hungry. And so the first thing we want to see this morning is his disciples were just meeting their basic needs. They were hungry, and they were wanting to eat, and it was the Sabbath, which was, back in that day, was what they considered the Saturday. And, you know, God forbid a lot of things that they couldn't do on the Sabbath. But as we see this passage, we'll begin to see that God never intended us to not do good on the Sabbath and not to meet basic needs. And so, as we read this section of Scripture, the disciples are hungry, and they begin to pluck the heads of grain, and they begin to eat it, right? And then the Pharisees, remember the Pharisees are the legalists of the day. They say, do this, don't do that, do this, don't that. And they've got all these rules and all these regulations. And guess what? Today, a lot of churches and a lot of people have made Christianity into a set of do's and a set of don'ts. Guess what? God never intended Christianity to be a set of do's and a set of don'ts. Yes, He wants us to do right and not to do wrong. But it has never been just about the doing. Because, see, a lot of people today, if you ask them, well, how do you get to heaven? They would say, you know, I'm getting to heaven because I'm doing this or I'm not doing that. I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. Or I'm doing this good thing or I'm doing that bad thing. Or I'm not as bad as this guy over here and I haven't done the things that they do, right? And so a lot of people have made going to heaven about do's and don'ts. But that's not what the Bible intended. See, these people are just doing what's right. And see, as Jesus goes on, he says, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests." That's verse 3 and 4. And so, what does he say? He says that David, when his men were hungry, they went into the temple and that bread that was in there was supposed to be for the priest only. It was cooked for God and it was set aside for God because God was the bread of life. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that word, that bread represented Jesus being the Word of God and the fact that we don't live by just eating. And so we have to live based on what God gives us. And so these men, David's men, went into the temple and they ate that bread because they were hungry. And so God didn't condemn them for that because guess what? They were hungry. They needed something to eat. And God doesn't want us to not do the basic good for other people just because we think there's a set of do's and a set of don'ts. And then he says, "Or have you not read verse 5 in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" In other words, the priests are working on the Sabbath, but the Bible says not to work on the Sabbath. But why are they working on the Sabbath in the temple? Because they're serving God, right? So basically what's happening here is people are meeting their basic needs and they're feeding themselves and the priests are serving God. And then he says, "Yet I say to you," verse 6, "that in this place there is one greater than the temple." In other words, he is saying right there and then that I'm greater than this temple. See, a lot of times folks worship the church. They worship the building. But we forget about Jesus. See, God is the most important thing in our lives. The Bible says that we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and our strength. But see, a lot of people worship their church. They worship the building, and they think that that is the most important thing. But Jesus is saying there's one greater than the temple. And he says in verse 7, "But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." See, the second thing Jesus says here is he desires mercy and not sacrifice. Now, what does that mean? Mercy means we don't get what we deserve, right? I mean, that's what mercy is. You know, remember when we were kids, I don't know if they did it when y'all were kids, but it was mostly the boys, you know, they'd fight and arm wrestle or do whatever it was. And when one of them got beat, the other one, when he was fixing to get beat or he's fixing to get hit, he'd say, "Mercy." In other words, you know, don't give me what I deserve. You got me. You can whoop me. Please don't give me any more, right? And that's basically what Jesus says, is that all of us don't deserve anything. But what he says is that God cares more about us being merciful to each other, and then he cares about that than he does about the sacrifice. Now the sacrifice, Jesus tells them in another place, that he says that, you know, that I don't want your sacrifices. Don't give me your new moons. Don't give me your festivals. Don't do all these things because guess what? I don't care about them because you know what? What he really wants is our heart. Did you know that? Back even when you go to Exodus chapter 20, I think it's Exodus chapter 20 where God gives the Ten Commandments, right? And in those Ten Commandments, you know, he gives us four commandments that have to do with God. You know, don't have any idols. Don't profane the name of God. Keep the Sabbath holy. And then the last six basically have to do with man. Don't covet. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't lie. Honor your mother and father. And the last one talks about not coveting, right? But what is coveting? Coveting is basically an attitude of the heart, right? And so when Jesus gets to the New Testament, they say, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what? And love your neighbor as yourself. You know what he did? He summed up the Ten Commandments into two little quick sayings. Love God and love your neighbor. And that's what God really wants out of us, is he wants our heart. He doesn't care, not that he doesn't care that we do right and wrong, but it's always been about the heart. It's always been about the right attitude. When he says love God with all your heart, that means with our whole being, right? That we love him and we put him first in everything. And so what he's saying is you can do keep regulations and you can do this and not do that, and you can go straight to hell, because the Bible says he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So it's about believing God and trusting God and doing what he tells us to do, right? Does that make sense to y'all? Because, see, we think that the Bible says do this and don't do that. And it does say that. But the main thing that Jesus wants out of us, what God wants out of us, is our heart. He wants the right attitude. He wants the right thing to come, not because I have to do it, but because I want to do it, right? I mean, we don't have to go to church, but we get to go to church, don't we? We don't have to serve God, but we get to serve God. I don't have to love God, but I get to love God. I don't have to keep His commandments, but I get to. Because the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? And so, it's all about the heart. And you know, it's amazing, some people will miss heaven by about 6 inches. I don't know how far it is from my heart to my head. But the Bible says that some people were ever learning. They had a head knowledge about what the Bible says and what it says to do and what it says to don't do. But when it comes down to it, they never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord, because they think it's about doing this and not doing that. But that was never what it was about. It was always about believing God, trusting God, and if you really love God, you will do what's right. I mean, I think most of y'all were married, right? And most of y'all had children. You loved your spouse, right? You loved your children, not because you had to, but because you wanted to, right? And even when they did wrong, even when they did something that didn't please you, you still loved them, didn't they? I mean, that's the way I am with my kids, you know? And that's the way my daddy was with me, and that's the way our parents were with us. And that's what God wants out of us, is He wants our heart. He wants us to be merciful to other people, to love people, because God loves people. He loves us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, did God know how bad the people in the world were going to be? Absolutely. He knows everything, doesn't He? But you know what? He loves us anyway. And so, what happened is these Pharisees made this whole deal about basically do's and don'ts. And some people say today, well, I'm going to heaven because I keep the Ten Commandments, or because I hadn't done this, or I hadn't done that, or I've done more good than bad. I've been baptized. I've taken communion. You know, whatever it is, I joined the church. But it's not about that. It's about understanding that we, as people, are desperately wicked. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And that the Bible says over and over and over again that there's none of us. I mean, that one passage in Romans, he says there's none right, no, not one. There's none righteous. All do evil. All run to evil. There's none good, none good, none good. He says it over and over and over again. That's the bad news. But the good news is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, right? And how did we get that gift? Because God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross, that no matter how bad we were, no matter how much we did wrong, that if we came to the place where we realized in our heart that we were wicked and we needed a Savior, and we asked God to forgive us and save us because we realized He was the only one that could do it, and He died in our place and He died for our sins, then guess what? He would forgive us. I mean, even a Osama bin Laden or a Hitler or a Stalin or Idi Amin or whoever you want to name today that's wicked, that, you know, Son of Sam, you know, any of those people, they could be saved. Because why? Because God died for all of us. And so Jesus says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. In other words, He is greater than the Sabbath. He's the one that made the Sabbath. And He says it's okay to do certain things. You know, it's like on Sunday today. Sometimes, you know, and I know in the older generations, probably y'all's generations, I heard some people say, you know, on Sunday that you couldn't do anything on Sunday. You'd sit in the house all day in your little suits or your little dresses and couldn't do nothing all day, right? But one thing you could do is sit around all day and be a glutton and get, you know, eat and eat and eat. But that was a sin, right? But you couldn't go out and play. You couldn't go do this. You couldn't go do that. And God never intended that. He just wants us to love Him and serve Him because we want to, not because we have to. And look what He says here in verse 9. He says, now when He had departed from there, He went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And He asked him, saying, is it lawful? They asked Him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse Him? See, they know that He's going to do something that they don't allow on the Sabbath. And so they egg Him on, because they want to condemn Him. They want to say, oh, you didn't do what the Bible says. But Jesus got through telling them, you know, it's about the heart. It's okay to do good on the Sabbath. It's okay to love God and meet basic needs. But they still want to accuse Him because, you know what? They have their little system and they want to be in control of what supposedly gets you into heaven or doesn't get you into heaven. See, that's the problem with man. We think that we can make the rules and regulations of how to get to heaven. We think that there's something we can do that'll make us right with God and will get us into heaven. But let me show you something. Then He said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls in the pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? He says, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? He says, look, if your sheep falls in the ditch on Sabbath, you're going to pull that sheep out of the ditch, right? Because guess what? You don't want that sheep to die. You don't want that sheep to get hurt. That sheep's valuable. But you know what He says? He says, of how much more value is a man than a sheep? Did you know they had a rule? The Pharisees had a rule. And you know what that rule said? If a man was going to die on the Sabbath, you could give him medicine. But you know where the quandary came in? Well, we don't know whether he's going to die or not, so do we give him the medicine? So, you know, nobody knows if somebody's really going to die, right? I mean, for a week, we weren't sure. A week and a half, we weren't sure whether Daddy was coming or going. We didn't know. But when it was his time, he went. And so we don't know when it is that somebody's going to die. But they says, oh, well, if we believe he's going to die, if we know for sure he's going to die, we can give him medicine. If we're not sure, we don't give him the medicine because that's illegal to do on the Sabbath. Does that make sense? It doesn't make any sense, does it? But that's the kind of rules and regulations man has come up with. But he says, therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, verse 13, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. So what Jesus does is he says, look, man is way more valuable than a sheep. You know, it's lawful to do what's good on the Sabbath. And so what does he do? He basically kind of spits in these people's faces because he tells the man to reach out his hand and he makes him whole. You know what? There's a little bit of symbolism here because you know what? Jesus is the only one that can make us whole. He's the only one that can save us and forgive us and restore us to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the only one. See, the man didn't do nothing. Jesus said, reach out your hand. And he did. There was another place where Jesus told a man, he says, do you want to be made whole? And that's the question of the day. Is do we want to believe what God says and that He's the only way and there's no other way to get to heaven? Or do we want to continue living the way we're living? See, the man that he asked, do you want to be made whole? He was laying around. He was paralyzed. Well, you say, well, I wouldn't want to be paralyzed all my life. Well, yeah. But you know what? There was a good side to that being paralyzed. He never had to work, and he always had people to take care of him. You know, and he kind of got used to where he was at, living in the condition he was in. And you know what? That's what we do in our lives. We kind of get used to living in the sin and the way we're living. And we just kind of know that it's not a good place, but guess what? We think, well, I'm okay right here because I know what this is, and I know how to deal with it. I talked to a guy a while back, and he's one minute he says, yeah, I know I need to trust the Lord. Yeah, I know I need to get right. And the next minute he says, well, I'm okay. And knows he's got a bad drug problem, knows that he's living in sin, knows he's putting his mama through hell. But he's okay. And that's where we get to be sometimes. We think we're okay. But only Jesus can forgive us. Only Jesus can save us. And so today, I just hope and pray that the Bible says, if anyone believes in Jesus, believes that He is the one that died on the cross, died in our place, and died for our sins, and there's nothing we can do to get to heaven, but He did it all. We sing that song, Jesus Paid It All, right? We're going to sing it in a minute. May as well sing that. I was trying to figure out what song we were going to sing at the end, but we'll sing that one. Because it's true, Jesus did everything that was necessary for us to go to heaven. And it's what? We can't do anything. But if we trust Him, He can change us. He can forgive us. We're not going to get there by doing this or doing that or not doing this or not doing that or by joining a church or by baptism or by communion or by any other thing. Because Jesus says, He who believes in Me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And so salvation is about believing God. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, because he believed what God said about his son coming, that he said, I know that this is true, and God saved him because he took him at his word. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, Jesus has been raised from the dead. then thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth you confess unto righteousness, but with the heart, with your mind, your will, your emotions, you are saved. He says, with the heart, you are saved. Because see, that heart speaks of the mind. We believe the truth about Jesus. With the will, we make a decision to follow Jesus and to trust Him. And with the emotions, we're sorry because we know we've hurt God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And so today, if you don't know for sure you're headed for heaven, right where you're at, you can say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You know, if you're truly sorry and realize that you've sinned, cry out to Him today. Tell Him you're sorry. Tell Him you want to be forgiven. And tell Him you want to go to heaven because you believe that Jesus did everything that was necessary when He died on that cross. Because when Jesus died, what did He say? It is finished. Our debt has been paid in full. Well, that's the message the Lord's laid on my heart today. I want to sing Jesus Paid It All. I believe that's number 77. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed me white as snow. Has He washed you white as snow? Because only He can do that.
I'm the child without remorse. I'm the widow left alone. So be
Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually, are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.